It is great to be back with you. Last time I was here, I remember being heckled. Do you remember?
Yeah,
it was great. It's absolutely wonderful. Very politely heckled.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was with something that I said, which has actually been said again this morning, but they didn't get heckled because it's been said the other way around. And you were talking about the Labour Party and the problem there. And I actually suggested last time that he could become our Prime Minister, and I was shouted down. Do you remember?
Yeah, I
don't want it, I hasten to add. I was just saying it as a warning, but I also did say, if that is the way that God has to use to get his Jewish people in Britain back to Israel, he will do it. It's a warning to us all, I know, but you know, as far as I'm concerned, the scriptures talk about, this is not my sermon, by the way, but this, the scriptures talk about, it is partly later on, but the Jewish people going back to their land in the latter days. And the British ones at the moment are quite comfortable, and there's not much aliyah going from Britain to Israel. How is he going to get them out? There's a bigger question concerning the Jews in America. Because it's bigger because there's a lot more of them. You know, there's kind of, you know, what is it, 6 million or something? 5-6 million in America. There's only 250,000 over here. But how is he going to get them out? And I don't know, because at the moment they've got a president who is very favourable towards them. But is there going to be a backlash to that president in the future, as a result of which persecution comes upon the Jews there? So I don't know. But God is going to sort it all out. Now then, I'm speaking actually today about the Feast of Trumpets. So it was great that the worship group began with praise him on the trumpet. I thought, that's good. I like that. Why am I speaking on this subject? The answer is quite simple. The Feast of Trumpets starts tonight. I didn't know whether you were aware of that or not, but it does. So, on the Jewish calendar, which goes from evening to morning, it actually is tonight that the Feast of Trumpets, or Yom Teruah, as it's called in Hebrew, begins, because biblical days start at sundown. So it starts this evening. It's also known as Rosh Hashanah, which literally means the head of the year. In other words, it's the beginning of a new year. Now, you'll notice that I've got the word feast there in little single quotes. If we look at the next slide, it's in single quotes because the Hebrew word used in the scripture, you can see up there in Hebrew, but in English we would pronounce it Mo'edim, and what it literally means is appointed times. So it's not so much to do, because feasts to us we just think of food, right? Which makes it a bit difficult when the feast is a fast, if you see what I mean. But the Hebrew word is actually meaning appointed times. So it's special times when God wants to meet with us, his people. So we're going to go on and look at the Feast of Trumpets. But first of all, I want to look at how this feast fits in to the whole pattern of biblical, of annual feasts. Okay? So, by the way, just for anybody who's interested, I'm going to be finishing this afternoon at 25 to 4. I am, because it's 25 to 4 now, according to that clock, and it has been all morning. So rest assured, you're not going to be here long, because I'm finishing at 25 to 4. Okay, now the annual feast divide into three main groups, and the first group is Passover, held around March, April. Most Christians don't celebrate Passover, but instead concentrate on Easter, which is actually named after Astarte, the goddess of fertility. But Easter happens around the same time as Passover, doesn't usually coincide with it exactly, and that was a deliberate act of the Roman Church to de-Judaize Christianity. Okay? The next one after that is Pentecost, which happens 50 days later, which is why it's called Pentecost. And it's usually celebrated by the church as its birthday, remembering the events of Acts chapter 2. But if that's all it is, why on earth is it there in the Jewish calendar? And the answer is that it actually commemorates the events which happened on Mount Sinai 2,000 years previously to that, the giving of the law. And then the third group is called Tabernacles, and another festival which is largely ignored by the Christian group. So those are the three main groups. They in fact encompass seven actual feasts. So within Passover, there are three feasts. There is Passover itself. Yep. And then there is unleavened bread. And finally, first fruits. Pentecost or Shavuot is a feast by itself. It's often called weeks because it happens 7 weeks after Passover. But like Passover, Tabernacles also has three feasts in it. Trumpets, which is the one we're going to be looking at today. Then the Day of Atonement or Yom Kippur, which is a fast, as you know. That's why I said it's difficult to call it a feast. And finally, Tabernacles itself, which is also known as Sukkot. Now, all these feasts are set out for us in Leviticus chapter 23, and I'm going to read the first two verses at this point. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, these are my appointed feasts, the appointed feasts of the Lord, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies." So the first thing we note there is that these are called by God my appointed feasts, or the appointed feasts of the Lord. What does that tell us? They're not Jewish feasts. They're the Lord's feasts. Yeah? So, as some of the Lord's people, we have every right to enjoy them as much as the Jewish people do. In the rest of chapter 23, God then sets out the various sacred assemblies. So verse 3 talks about the Sabbath, a weekly day of rest, which has also been largely forgotten. Verses 4 to 8 then talk about Passover and unleavened bread. 9 to 14 continues with first fruits. 15 to 22 tells us about the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. And then we're coming to the one we're looking at today. 23 and 25 talks about the Feast of Trumpets. We'll read it in a minute. 26 down to 32 talks about the Day of Atonement. And then 33 down to 43 completes the list with the Feast of Tabernacles. So they're all there in that one chapter. So let's just read 23 to 25 because that's what we're looking at today. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the first day of the seventh month, you are to have a day of rest, a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. Do no regular work, but present an offering made to the Lord by fire." Okay. Again, before we get on to all these, to have a look at the Feast of Trumpets, I want to look at the prophetic fulfillment of these feasts. So looking at the first group, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, it's very easy for us to see that this was fulfilled in the death and resurrection of Jesus. The unleavened bread one, leaven is a symbol of sin, so unleavened is a symbol of no sin, that is Jesus. Don't have to have time to go into this in detail, but there are some very, very exact fulfillments of scripture that we can see here. So in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, Paul refers to Jesus as the Passover lamb. For Jesus, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. And then later in that letter, in 1 Corinthians 15:20, Paul also refers to Jesus as the first fruits. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. So we can see that this group of feasts has already been fulfilled. So the second main feast is weeks or Pentecost, and we don't have any problem in seeing the fulfillment of this feast with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. So now let's look at the Feast of Tabernacles. And for Jewish people, this is the most important of all the feasts. The whole of the preceding month of Elul is regarded as preparation for that time. And it is so important that it is often referred to as simply the feast. So if they talk about the feast, it's Tabernacles. Many Jewish people, even those who are not religiously observant, still celebrate the feast in a traditional way. And that is to say, they build a flimsy tabernacle outside their home and they live in it for the whole week of Tabernacles, which is something you can do in a nice warm climate like Israel, but it's not quite so easy in Britain at this time of year. It's just a little bit colder and wetter than it was in Hebron when I took that a few years ago. It's interesting that this feast is the only one where the Gentiles are specifically included. On the seventh day of the feast, it's an eight-day feast, on the seventh day of the feast, the Hallel is sung, and that is Psalms 113 to 118, and five of those six psalms specifically mention the Gentiles. Despite this, the feast has been largely ignored by Christians until really only about 40, 50 years ago, when the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem first began to organise a Christian celebration of the feast, which now has thousands of participants every year. And the lack of Christian involvement is all the more surprising when we realise that actually, one day, we are all going to be celebrating this feast after the return of Jesus. Zechariah 14:16 says, "Then the survivors from all the nations that have attacked Jerusalem will go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord Almighty, and to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles." So we're all going to go and celebrate at some stage. So that's just the introduction to what I wanted to say about the Feast of Trumpets. Okay. It's called the Feast of Trumpets because it's a day on which trumpets are blown. Now that's easy, isn't it? Good. Okay. So, who would like to sound the trumpet? Okay. The reason why I brought the bag out the front. Would anybody like to come and give it a blow? Anybody brave enough to come and give it a blow? See if you can get a sound out of it? Come on then. Last time I tried blowing this, it was an absolute disaster. Give it a go. Is there a trumpeter? No trumpeter amongst us, no? Brilliant. Brilliant. Okay. Yeah, it's a good job there. Yeah, that's absolutely excellent. If you haven't got anything else to do for the next 24 hours, get yourself down to the local synagogue and grab one of those. Okay? The Feast of Trumpets, in one sense, is an anomaly among the holy days, because when it was instituted, it really had no obvious meaning. The sounding of trumpets happened regularly on all the other feast days. So why have a day just to blow trumpets? It's not as if it's something different. You do that on all the feast days. In fact, on Yom Kippur, you got a great note out of that. But they actually do it in different ways, with three medium-sized beats, and then the next one is nine short ones, and then one long blast at the end. I'm not going to attempt it. I'm 10 days too early, so I'm all right. But It happens regularly on other days, but in Leviticus, in 23:25, where we read earlier on, it mentions that it's a day of rest. Okay, so are the other feasts. So what's so different? It also says in that same place to present an offering. But that happens on all the other feast days as well. All Scripture tells us about this feast is that it should be a sacred assembly commemorated with trumpet blasts. That's it. Now, that's not the end of the sermon, don't worry. But if it is a commemoration, what does it commemorate? Because there's nothing to tell us. Today, in Jewish tradition, this day is celebrated as the birthday of the world. The Feast of Trumpets is also known as Rosh Hashanah, as I said before, means head of the year. So this is also celebrated as New Year's Day. But the Bible says it's the first day of the seventh month, not the first month. So this is not the biblical New Year. But actually, when you think about it, we also have different New Years. Because we have our calendar year that begins on January the 1st. Yep. Financial years often begin on April the 1st. I mean, the fiscal year even begins on the 6th of April, just to make life even more difficult. And the school and ecclesiastical years begin on the 1st of September. Kids have just gone back to school, 1st of September. That's when the changes, you know, which year you're going to be in school. You know, I mean, you can have twins born, one just before midnight and one after, and they'll be in separate years. Yeah? So it's a division. But let's just spend a few moments thinking about this idea of a celebration of the creation of the world on Rosh Hashanah. Because, of course, this goes completely counter to accepted thought within our secular society. Our children are taught from an early age that the earth has evolved over billions of years from some unknown Big Bang, and I'm not quite sure who lit the touch paper. They are taught that we as human beings are really only intelligent apes. And although you may be looking there and thinking to yourself, well, perhaps he is. That's not where I came from. They say that all life has evolved from single cells that no one's yet identified. Okay, so there's a good sound basis for that, isn't there? There's actually no scientific evidence to support any of this. It's just evolutionary theory. The Bible tells us something completely different. Genesis 2:7 tells us that the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. We did not evolve from apes. We were created from dirt. Or as a friend of mine used to say, I'm looking at a bunch of glorified mud balls. So, sorry about that if that offends you, that I'm just calling you a mud ball. But that's where we came from. We came from dirt. But God has breathed life into us. And it's his spirit in us that distinguishes us from all the rest of his creation. So we actually have a simple choice when it comes to believing evolutionary theory or the Bible. And I've chosen to believe God's word rather than man's theories because actually it's far more reliable. If you do look at all at what the evolutionists say, they change their mind very regularly about what happened when and where because they don't know. But as soon as some new evidence comes along which destroys the last thing they said, they come up with a new theory. God's word doesn't change because he got it right in the first place. It's good to celebrate God's creation, but there's nothing in the Bible to tell us on what day that took place. So we cannot directly associate it with the Feast of Trumpets or indeed any other day, which also means that this day is as good as any other. So they've chosen this day to celebrate the creation of the world. Well, let's go back to thinking about the trumpets, because the shofar was used to summon the people to gather them into one place. And I suggest to you that today the trumpet is sounding to gather the Jewish people back into their own land of Israel. Isaiah chapter 27 and verse 13. And in that day, a great trumpet will sound. Those who were perishing in Assyria and those who were exiled in Egypt will come and worship the Lord on the holy mountain in Jerusalem. We are living at a time when these scriptures are being fulfilled. Ever since its establishment as a state in 1948, Israel has enjoyed massive immigration, bringing back the Jewish people from the Arab nations from which they were expelled, then from the former Soviet Union, from Ethiopia, from over 100 countries of the world. The trumpet is sounding for the Jewish people to go home. We are witnessing today the fulfillment of prophecies written over 2,500 years ago. Aren't we privileged to be living in these days? So look, for example, at Jeremiah 23, verse 7. So then the days are coming, declares the Lord, when people will no longer say, as surely as the Lord lives who brought the Israelites up out of Egypt, it's referring to Passover, but they will say, as surely as the Lord lives who brought the descendants of Israel up out of the land of the north. What's north of Israel? Russia, and out of all the countries where he had banished them, then they will live in their own land. There's over 1 million Russian Jews living in Israel now. Or again, in Isaiah 43, verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. There's many, many more scriptures referring to the return of the Jewish people to their land, which we see coming true today. It's not necessarily a popular subject. It's rarely taught in church, but because politics has got in the way of our biblical understanding of what is going on, as we heard very graphically from the guy from Socialist Worker, who hasn't got a clue, actually, about history. It is God that is bringing his people back, and he is bringing them back to the land he has given them, whatever the world might say. And that's why I said at the beginning, you know, if God needs to put in place in this country an anti-Semitic government, and apparently 40% of the Jewish people have said if Jeremy Corbyn gets into power, they are leaving. And this is, you know, well in advance, if you like, that when it happens, there could be a much greater percentage. I was with some Jewish friends of mine on Thursday, and I asked them the question, and they said, yes, we'd be leaving. No, they didn't say they'd go to Israel. I asked them that, and he said, no, probably not. That's the danger. But I mean, wherever they go, they'll be hunted out. He actually is South African by, I'm not sure whether it's by birth. I think he was actually born in South Africa, but he's been over here nearly all his years. But so potentially South Africa he would be able to go back to. But that's not the answer to the question. That's not the answer to the problem he's got. But there we are. Okay, so he is bringing his people back. But the trumpet also has significance for us because it announces the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, we read this. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now, This actually has two things happening at the same time. It refers to the coming of the Son of Man coming on the clouds. But it also refers to the gathering of his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. So we have got Jesus coming down, and we've got believers going up at the sound of the one trumpet. So what's going on here? Well, I think there's another passage also that we can read which talks about this last trumpet, and that's in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. So we are going up to meet the Lord in the air. And it's interesting, thank you very much for that children's story today, because it's just like the bridesmaids in Matthew 25. We are going to meet the bridegroom, and then we are going to bring him back to earth, because that's where Jesus is aiming for. God has always wanted to live with his people. That's why he asked them to construct a tabernacle 4,000 years ago, so that he could go and live there among his people. He has always wanted to live with his people. So he will be coming down to earth. We read about that in Zechariah 14:4. On that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, east of Jerusalem, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half moving south. The previous verse says that on that day the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fights on a day of battle. These are New Testament prophecies from Jesus and Paul. And as with the prophecies from the Old Testament, they will be fulfilled in due course. We don't know when, but it could be in the lifetime of many of us here this morning. Yeah? Now, before I close, for the sake of completion, I just want to mention briefly the other two autumn feasts. Firstly, the Day of Atonement. There are two things which characterize this particular day. Firstly, it is a day of humiliation and mourning. If you look at the detail of what went on that day, you can see there's an absolute dependence upon the grace of God for their continued existence. Not just for each individual, but for the whole nation. And secondly, it is a day of national cleansing from sin and reconciliation with God. This is unique in world history, a time when a whole nation comes before God. Paul says, all Israel will be saved. Romans 11:26. It hasn't happened yet, but it will one day. And this will be a fulfillment of Zechariah 12:10, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son. It's also a fulfillment of Zechariah 13:1. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity, as well as many other scriptures. After that time of national reconciliation between the people of Israel and the God of Israel, we come to the Feast of Tabernacles itself. This points to the Messianic kingdom to come. It is God coming down to dwell, or if you wish, to tabernacle with his people. Now, he's already done that once. Twice, really, because he came down to dwell with his people in the desert. And then he came down again 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus. So in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and tabernacled, is the literal word in Greek, tabernacled among us. And many believe that that is a hint that actually Jesus was born during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. But Jesus is also coming back to dwell again with us, as I've said. And so Revelation 21 says this: "Now the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Then will be established the millennial reign of Christ on earth, when Jesus returns, as he promised he would, to rule over the earth for 1,000 years. The King of the Jews will reign in Jerusalem as the prophets foretold." Now, I want you to understand that this is my understanding of how all this lot fits together, because I do know that I'm on shaky ground in the sense that there are other interpretations of what is going to happen and when. But this is my take on it, which I believe to be a biblical one. So let me just summarize where we've been. Within the overall scheme of the biblical feasts, we've been concentrating on the Feast of Trumpets, part of the group of feasts which happen in the autumn. This has significance for the Jewish people in that the trumpet is sounding now for them to return to their own land that God has given them, the land of Israel. And for us who are Christians, there is a future fulfillment of this feast, which we await with eagerness the day when the trumpet will sound and we will all be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:51 puts it this way: "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed." Are you ready?
Yes. Amen.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Because what I see from Scripture is that the first three feasts, the Passover set, were completely fulfilled exactly at the right time. Passover. The Feast of Weeks, Pentecost, was fulfilled exactly at the right time. Pentecost. If we look at that as being how those in the past have been fulfilled, I would suggest to you that the Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, is going to happen at exactly that time on the calendar. When did I say Feast of Trumpets starts? Dusk this evening. That's why I said to you, are you ready? Because if I'm right that the Lord is going to return on the Feast of Trumpets, it could be tonight. Yeah? You see what I'm saying? Now, okay, I know there are others who've got other theories as to when it happens, and I don't know the year when this is going to happen, but I believe that we will see these scriptures fulfilled at this time of year, which will be a fulfillment of trumpets and then Day of Atonement and then Tabernacles. They're a group, they fit together, so I see them being all fulfilled in one group together, not over a period of years. All right? That's my take on it. Nobody's thrown a stone at me yet, thank you very much. Nobody started heckling as I was last time, so thank you very much. But we all need to be ready. Yeah? We need to be ready, because it could be tonight that the trumpet sounds and Jesus returns. So, I mean, if you're a visitor today that doesn't know Lord Jesus as your Saviour, you need to get that thing sorted very, very quickly. Okay? Talk to one of the elders afterwards. But for those of us who are believers already, we can look forward to the eager anticipation to the time when we will be with the Lord forever. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you, Father, for your plan of the redemption of the world, which we see you putting in place thousands of years ago and then fulfilling at exactly the right time. And Lord, we believe that the completion of that plan will also happen at exactly that right time, your time. And Lord, we all want to be ready for the first part of that when the trumpet blast is sounded. Lord, give us open ears to hear that trumpet blast, Lord, that we might be ready at the right time with our lamps filled. Lord, do that for each one of us, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.